Melody Cardo, you have a new album called The Absence. Now, before this, you were absent for a year traveling around the world. It's almost like a gap year, really, is it? So this was the inspiration for the album?
You say like a year of study. It's interesting because I spent that year studying, not in a university, but amongst the people that were inspiring to me, with great teachers, great musicians, and didn't pause for a minute to stop learning, whether it was about the music or life or something that had to come up. And from there came the notion of song and the notion of writings and prose and things like that. And I brought that back to the lap of Heitor Pereira and said, here you go, kid, what do you think about these things? And he just showed up in a time in my life when I needed somebody to partner up with. Mm. And his ability to jump back and forth between Brazil and kind of my world was interesting to see.
We'll come back to Heitor, actually, because I do want to talk quite a bit about him. Just to go back to the journey for a second, because there was the whole world out there. How did you decide where to go to, Melody?
Kind of divine intervention. I just woke up and decided one day I'm going to Portugal and then I'm going to South America. It was as simple as that. I closed the book, booked a flight, and I was done.
Really?
Yeah.
As simple as that?
Simple as that.
And you'd already learned some Portuguese then?
No.
No?
Showed up and started learning when I hit the ground. Yeah.
And what specifically, I mean, we've got Lisboa, for instance, on the album. Tell me about your experiences in Portugal. What did you think of it when you arrived?
I mean, Portugal is an amazing place, Lisboa in particular, but not just that city. It's a country that's, with respect for preservation of culture, preservation of music, greats like Pessoa, greats like Carlos Paredes, I discovered a whole new form of music that you don't get handed to you, it gets handed down. It's very special, you know, to walk into a place, for instance, you know, Americans a lot of time they say, well, I'm going to do Europe in 10 days. Mm. You know, they take this trip and you don't see anything.
No.
And the same thing happens when you get to a place like Portugal and you walk down the street for one day and you think you got it all. You don't understand. So I wanted to spend a moment kind of like unearthing the soil, the history, understanding what was happening. And I thought I would get away with being able to jump on to what was going on there because the people that I had met were speaking French and Portuguese. And I thought I had a leg on, you know. But the truth is that it's a country which is in flux, not just economically speaking, but since Salazar's end and since the French influence has kind of deceased, you have a whole new integral part of youth that's becoming interested in English. And so you get there and everybody 50 and up speaks French and Portuguese. Then there's this middle gap that's almost all Portuguese. And maybe if you're lucky, they speak another language or a little bit of English. They're very educated people, often speak English. I guess they study, I don't know. They speak Spanish, Portuguese, English, Italian. Most of them speak a few languages. Mm. But in the different quadrants, you know, in like the old parts of Alfama, everybody just speaks Portuguese. And so you're stuck. I mean, I remember I had like a really bad flu one day and I had to go out to get my own things because there was nobody to take care of me. And I just said, "Tem soup frango," like with no voice whatsoever. He's like, "Si, si, ta, ta, tem." You know, and it just, you learn, you look at the wall, you read the words, you start going, you talk to people, and before you know it, you're speaking a language.
Yes.
You just have to jump in.